I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome specifically.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here to talk today about the movie Teeth.
Yes.
But first, news.
Yes.
And I will kick it off.
Great.
Thank you. We finally got confirmation of our next Halloween Horror Nights 2025 house, and I'm disappointed personally, but I know a lot of people will be stoked about it. It's Terrifier themed.
Mm-hmm.
Some spoilers. Close your ears for 10 seconds if you don't want to hear. It's going to feature Art the Clown's Funhouse, as seen in Terrifier 2, which I refuse to see. The bathroom scene, also whatever that is. Oh, unless they mean the vagina scene, the split down the middle scene. Who's to say? Whatever that means.
It's not in a bathroom.
Oh, well, I don't know. It said the bathroom scene. It said...
Yeah, it's from Terrifier 2.
Oh, okay. And then a twisted Christmas-themed scene.
Oh, so that's from the third then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we've got... The proprietary houses we've gotten so far are Terrifier, Fallout, FNAF, and Jason.
All right. One Something for everybody.
Fun. Yeah.
Did you say one?
Okay, yeah. I would go through three of the four of them.
I only remember three of them.
Terrifier, Fallout, FNAF, and Jason.
Oh, okay.
In order, great. I would enjoy, I believe... Mm-hmm. FNAF, Fallout, Jason, Terrifier.
Okay.
And there's an absolutely fucking astronomical gap in enjoyment between Jason and Terrifier.
For you, yeah.
For me,
that checks out. I think I might be a Jason one. That might be top for me, just because it's iconic. I think it'd be fun. Yeah. No, it's just takes place at a camp. It's not campy. Well, some later ones are. But I think that would be fun to see, especially because I'm liking this resurgence of his license kind of being used more.
Sure.
So Jason is number one for me. Then I think Fallout, because I really did enjoy the show. And then FNAF. And then Terrifier.
I just imagine a world in which... they're able to hire the actual cast of FNAF to be in the house. And that would be so much fun. Matthew Lillard and Josh Hutcherson scaring you at a house. Or helping you to escape the house.
Yeah, you think they're just going to be free three nights a week for 2 months?
Who's to say?
To work a haunted house.
That's about the commitment you would need for a movie. So if they pay them enough.
I don't think they have that type of money.
Can you imagine, though? That would be so fun. That would be the greatest ever.
It would be great.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it ever happening, though. Sorry.
Maybe. I bet that in 15 years, when horror movies are no longer... the vibe, for whatever reason, they go out of fashion. And I'm not saying that that's true or ever going to happen.
It's not.
If horror movies were ever to go out of fashion incorrectly.
They won't.
To make a resurgence for Halloween Horror Nights, they will hire the actual cast of a movie to every night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for 2 months, perform in the house for which their movie is based.
This is a fantasy scenario. You realize that, right?
Yes, but
great.
Horror. Everyone's entitled.
Doesn't
to their
go
fantasy.
Out of fashion. That's like saying, like, oh yeah, once like they stop making comedy movies, like that's just it's not ever gonna happen.
Yeah,
that's not
too
a
bad.
Thing.
I'm sick of comedy movies.
Oh, I'm sorry. That would have been a great segue into the comedy horror Teeth, but we're not there yet. So.
Yeah, sorry.
my news next. We already know that A24 is making a movie about the Backrooms universe. It's going to be directed by the original creator, Kane Parsons. But we have some casting news. Finn Bennett from True Detective. Lucita Maxwell from Afraid, the AI movie that came out last year. Mark Duplass from Creep. And Avan Jogia from Victorious.
Oh.
I think he was also in one of the Resident Evils, but I know him from Victorious, so that's what I'm using as the benchmark. They've all been announced as joining the cast, and I really like Mark Duplass, so I'm excited about that one.
That's a lot of people to be in that movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're clearly, like, expanding on the universe.
Yeah, I hope it does well. I'm excited for it. I'll watch it.
Yeah, me too. I think production kicked off last week, so they're in it. They're doing it.
Nice. Here we go. When is it supposed to come out?
No clue. Probably next year. If production started now, I'm assuming.
Okay. See you then. Episode 212 of Killer Cuties Podcast.
That'd be so sexy if that turned out to be correct.
Yeah, right? Write that down.
Write that down. Write that down.
Okay, one more from me. Another movie that also began filming this week. Bloody Disgusting announced today, or last Thursday if you're listening on release day, that B22 Films is producing Aladdin-themed horror movies titled Aladdin and Aladdin's Revenge.
I saw that.
Yeah, they're being filmed back-to-back right now and being released together in 2026. The writer and director, Brett Bentman, told Bloody Disgusting that this version of Aladdin is rooted much further in the ancient tales. He says it's a story about wishes going terribly wrong.
Interesting.
Probably not, but it's news.
Yeah. You're right.
The Aladdin movies, the Disney version of the movies, are not public domain. It's the story that Aladdin is based off of that was already public domain when the Aladdins were made.
Yes.
That is part of the public domain. So I don't think everybody should get too excited, but.
Fair. It's the same with, like, Cinderella. They've made how many Cinderella movies, you know?
Yeah. Too many. They should have stopped with the Brandy one.
That is so unbelievably true. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Remember when you didn't know who I was talking about? When I was incredulous that you didn't know who Brandy Norwood was because you didn't know she had a last name.
Yeah, I didn't know her last name was Norwood. So I was like, who are there more than one Brandy?
No, just the one.
Yeah.
All right, last news from me. Greta Lee, she starred in 2023's Past Lives, notably, is making her directorial debut with a psychological horror film. She's going to be doing the film adaptation of the book, The Eyes Are the Best Part, which was written by Monica Kim. I've seen it all over the horror book talk. It's on my TBR, so I'm excited. Sounds but like also, you know, it does. I think that's what it's about, if I had to venture a guess. Specifically, the book is about a woman named Jiwon whose life unravels after her father has an affair and then leaves the family. She finds an inventive way to satiate her rage and, you guessed it, hunger. Very cannibal.
Confirmed. It's about cannibals.
Confirmed.
You heard it here first.
That would be a crazy summary of a book that wasn't about cannibalism.
Yeah.
But who's to say? Not me.
Also, I have to heavily disagree. Without ever having been a cannibal, there's no possible way that eyes are the best part. I know that, even without having been a cannibal.
I think that that's a fair assumption. Nobody says the eyes are the best part about animals.
Nope.
And we eat them, so.
Maybe that's part of the book, though. Maybe that's exactly the argument they use. Like, oh yeah, nobody ever talks about how the eyes are the best part.
Yeah. Well, I'll read it one day and I'll let you know. Or we'll just watch the movie when it comes out.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, I'll probably read the book first, but who's to say?
I've been on this kick of watching the movie first and then reading the book.
Yeah.
Because it helps my mind's eye, you know? I'm not having to do as much of the heavy lifting.
And yet you refused to watch Sharp Objects and now you're going to read the book. That's crazy.
I'm only reading the book because I have to read books and I'm having decision paralysis about what books to read and it was on your list.
That's true. Because I've seen the show. I did watch the show first. It was so good. I'm so excited.
What if it's terrible, the book?
Then that's going to really suck, I guess.
Yeah.
But then I'll just rewatch the show and be happy.
Well, there's your news.
There it is.
Let's get into Teeth.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'll give us a little summary. Teeth is a 2007 American comedy horror film written and directed by Mitchell Lichtenstein. It's about a celibate high schooler named Dawn, played by Jess Weixler, who discovers through a series of extremely unfortunate circumstances that she is a living example of the vagina dentata myth. This one had a $2 million budget and just barely made it back with $2.3 million at the box office. It had a sparkling debut at Sundance and has a 2.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd, 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb, and an 81% critics and 45% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. One of, if not maybe, the largest spread between critics and audiences that we've reviewed.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. Who are we, though? Are we the audience or are we the critics? You're going to find out over the next 40 minutes or so, approximately.
So true.
Usually when I'm watching a movie, I like write down my thoughts and then I type them up. Not a single thought in my brain.
None.
None.
Interesting.
I watched. No thinking. Just watching.
I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I find out in approximately 39 minutes.
39. Damn, yeah. Okay.
Did you have thoughts?
Yeah. I typically do.
Yeah. I had emotions, feelings.
No thoughts, though.
No thoughts.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
Okay, now for the next 38 minutes, you'll be hearing what I thought about the movie.
Great.
My thoughts. But while I was watching the movie, no thoughts. It was after.
Right. You accumulated the thoughts afterwards.
Yes.
Great. So glad we clarified that.
Yeah. Where should we start?
Perhaps
the inspiration for the film?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll start there.
Okay.
Okay. Director and writer Mitchell Lichtenstein heard about vagina dentata for the first time in a college class taught by Camille Paglia. Do you know her?
No.
I didn't either until today. I don't know. I don't. She's the worst. For one, this one's kind of funny. She blames Monica Lewinsky for 9/11.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So there's that weird take. But she's also been known to promote pro-pedophile organizations. She's weird. Also,
huh?
Also, I might be misgendering her because she's trans but refuses to transition and thinks that being transgender is like being eccentric. And you shouldn't get any legal protections just because you're eccentric.
Sorry, where did you find all this out?
On her Wikipedia page.
She teaches school and has her own Wikipedia page?
She's a feminist, a well-known feminist. And in the article I was reading about where he got the idea for the movie, where Mitchell Lichtenstein got the idea for the movie... Yeah. It said something about controversial feminist Camille Paglia. And I'm like, I've never heard of her. She can't be that controversial. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
She's extremely controversial.
Yeah.
Like abolishing the age of consent.
I don't like her.
No. And she played a part in the movie. Not literally played a part. But she wrote... the article that's on screen when Dawn Googles vagina dentata.
Interesting.
Which it just completely, that including her in this, it's fine. You were inspired by her class to like make the movie, fine, whatever, weird, but fine. But then to like know that she's done all this stuff since literally the 90s, late 80s, maybe even, and to give her a role, not literally, but like a part, not also not literally, in the movie is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Was that too much?
I just don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever heard of this woman, and she sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, she literally is. I thought I'd ease into it with the Monica Lewinsky caused 9/11.
No, that didn't ease me at all.
Yeah.
That felt like getting hit by a truck, if I'm being honest.
It's because it was a distraction from the government, so it allowed the plane to be hijacked. Because it was a distraction. All of the politicians and everybody and Bill Clinton were distracted. And then...
He wasn't even the president.
I know.
I don't understand. Like,
I don't get it either. But yeah, she literally says that...
Years after the controversy, everybody was so obsessed with it.
It wasn't that long.
He wasn't president anymore. It was long enough that someone else was elected.
Only 9 months. That he wasn't the president. So her, not that I'm justifying anything that she says, but Bush would have become president in 2000, right?
Yeah.
And 9/11. Oh, so a year and 9 months. I don't know, man. I don't understand.
He would have taken office January of 2021.
But the fact that she's a feminist and is blaming the woman in that scenario alone.
Yeah. No, she's not a feminist. Sorry. That's just not, you don't get to call yourself that. Blame yeah. Monica Lewinsky.
Preaching the choir. And also claim that you're transgender, but also hate trans people? Like what?
Yeah, no. It happened January 26, 1998 is when the whole infamous I did not have sexual relations with that woman. So she's saying 3 years later, people were still so absolved in this controversy. Okay, we have to move on because otherwise I'm going to talk about this lady for the rest of the episode.
We've dwelled on it for far too long.
Yeah, this was not where I thought this episode was going to go at all.
Sorry. I just took a little apologizing with that particular piece.
Yeah, as you know, you should.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting because he's talked about like the origin of that myth and how he thinks it has so much more to do with the men of that time than anything about the women. Which is like a pretty...
actually feminist take.
Yeah.
And that comes across in the movie. I think he did a sensitive job for not being a woman.
Yeah.
Of portraying accurately how terrible men are and what really little power women have.
Yeah.
Unless they have teeth in their vagina.
So true. I mean, I have seen people debate whether or not this is, like, feminist horror or not.
Yeah, I guess a lot of critics took issue with it because it was written and directed by a man, which I get. It could have been a perfect film had it been written and directed by a woman. I think that a woman's, like, sort of touch on the movie, for lack of a better expression, would have really put it over the top. But... I mean, I think he did it very respectfully and correctly, so.
Yeah. I have never watched this movie and not thought that it was a feminist take on it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of confused but open-minded when I started, like, reading about other people's opinions and whether or not they thought that it was. But a lot of what I was finding was just, well, it was written and directed by a man. And I was like, well, I don't think that necessarily excludes it from being a feminist take.
Yeah.
Even a blind pig can find a truffle. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Broken clocks right twice a day.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that excludes it for me personally. And I saw some people say like, oh, well, she's just reduced down to her sexuality, which is true, but also kind of the point. I don't know. Maybe it just didn't hit. Because for me, this is very much just a satire on how women are treated.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, those elements are going to be present. But But to me, they did a good job at clearly making fun of that.
I don't know. No, I agree. I definitely agree. And I'm like no you scholar. Said, the only arguments, really the only arguments were, oh, well, it's a male director.
Like, yeah, that's what I saw the most.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like that was enough to say a movie is not feminist. I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to talk a little bit about how this movie got made. It was put together entirely with private equity. Every film studio, even they tried to option it to like European studios because they thought, oh, they'll be a little bit more lax. Mm-hmm. Nope, they all turned it down. Lichtenstein even said that his manager at the time, he showed him the script and his manager said, don't ever show that script to anybody else because anybody who reads it is never going to want to read anything else that you write. And when he kind of pushed him and said, why, his manager, I guess, just said that the industry is pretty much run by men and they don't want to see dicks getting cut off.
So true, bestie. So two instances of people thinking the movie was a pornographic film.
Yeah.
One, they were scouting a bunch of film locations with a film commissioner in Austin. And the commissioner read the script immediately after he had toured some filming locations with the production team. And after he read the script, he then called all of the locations that they had scouted and told them to not work with the production team because they were filming a porn movie.
Yep.
So then they had to restart the location scouting process from scratch after having to fund everything, self-fund or use private equity to fund the movie. And then when they finally started filming the first scene, the neighbors of the home where the family lives started protesting because they also believed it to be an adult film.
Yeah.
Misinformation kills.
Well, no one died, but
that we know of.
You're just spreading misinformation about the misinformation. There is a very heavy use of nuclear power plants in the background of a lot of the shots in this movie. Mm-hmm. Seems to kind of imply that that's how Dawn got her mutation, I guess, especially since her mom is sick as well. Kind of hints that this is like genetically passed down because of them being by this nuclear power plant.
And the opening sequence, too.
Yeah. And Lichtenstein said that he wanted everybody to just be kind of comically naive and very not thinking about the fact that this is not where you should live, right next to this giant nuclear power plant. Mm-hmm. And that also kind of makes sense because he said in multiple interviews that I found that he thinks of this kind of almost as a superhero story. He thinks that it follows the same arc as a lot of superhero stories do. So first she's unaware that she has this power. Then she's kind of horrified by it. She kind of learns the rules of it and then accepts it and maybe even revels in it in the end. So that kind of makes sense too, because I feel like nuclear power plants is, that's what gives all these superheroes their powers in a lot of the origin stories.
Sure. Yeah, that's a cute take.
Yeah.
The director said that?
Mm-hmm.
Fun, very fun. The scene in the school where the textbook's depictions of vaginas are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2000, Lichtenstein found it happened in Virginia, in a school in Virginia. Insane.
Speaking of that, too, they had an alternate poster for the film. Because the one that I feel like is the most used is her in the bathtub and then yeah, teeth sure. is written in red.
Mm-hmm.
But they had one that definitely gave off more comedy vibes. And it's her, it's like teeth is in bubble letters next to her. And you can find it online. We can link it too. But, and then she's in that shirt that says warning, everything changes after sex.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like pulling it down. And then that sticker is over her nether regions.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and on the sticker it says directed by Mitchell Lichtenstein. And then, yeah, she's wearing like slouchy Uggs, very early 2000s. But yeah, it definitely reads much more comedy than the poster that they decided to go with. I think this had a little bit of the Jennifer's Body thing where they marketed it as a straight horror. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously not what it is. So
yeah,
I don't think it, they marketed it to the wrong people, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely think knowing that, I don't know. I thought it was funny. It was like, it was more like slapstick funny though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why I was like, it's more of a dark comedy because it's more of a satire.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, I think this movie's comedy is more almost making fun of like an after school special. Where it's got that same kind of vibe. Like, but I'm a cheerleader. It feels in the same camp as that. Have you never seen that?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, you need to watch it. It's really good. But it feels that kind of same vibe.
Okay.
Whereas Jennifer's Body, I mean, Diablo Cody has such a specific type of humor.
Sure.
So, like, that's more like Juno, right? Like, that's the comedy that's in there.
Yeah, which Juno is a masterclass in tone. It's very serious, but also hilarious and like so quotable.
Juno's a great film.
I think Teeth also has that level of, okay, this is fucking horrifying and very serious, and then you're laughing the next minute.
Yeah,
which is what I that's what I want from a horror comedy. I don't think it's that much to ask for it to be both horrifying and funny and not one or the other.
That's fair.
Thank you.
See, I feel like this movie leans more towards comedy for me.
Yeah, it yes, it's more funny, but it has horror and like heavy and dark.
Okay. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Kind of.
There's a musical adaptation of the film. I couldn't find that it's still playing, but it was playing at Playwrights Horizons in New York in 2024 and then New World Stages and at the end of 2024. It even got nominated for 4 Drama Desk Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did really well.
Yeah, it just came out last year.
Yeah, for a small off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, I wonder if the soundtrack is on Spotify.
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
Damn.
Yeah, bummer.
Too bad. That's fair. They probably haven't done a studio recording of it yet.
Yeah, probably not. Too bad. But yeah. That's by Anna K. Jacobs and Michael R. Jackson, if anybody's interested.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, I think it would be fun.
Mm-hmm. They also, back in 2017... Lichtenstein and one of the movie's producers tried to pitch it as a TV show. They were trying to continue on the universe of Teeth. And I guess their concept was that they wanted to make it kind of like Dexter-like, where she's almost this like Avenger.
Fun.
Yeah, they got rejected by everybody.
Yeah.
So again, people don't like the concept of this. Nothing's really changed, so.
You don't really hear much about self-funded TV. I guess it's because you have to have a distributor to get TV anywhere.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. I feel like the closest thing we have to self-funded TV is probably YouTube series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's always an option. Lichtenstein.
True.
We'd watch it, at least the two of us. My personal favorite fun fact about this movie is about the piercing on the prop.
Yeah, I thought you might like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Brad's penar, when it gets bitten off, mm-hmm. is then eaten by the dog. And he has, what is that, a Prince Albert?
Yeah.
I think it's a Prince Albert. A piercing. The piercing was handcrafted out of sugar by a local bakery in case the dog were to accidentally swallow it.
Dog-friendly penis.
Dog-friendly I don't know what the rest piercing. Of
it. Yeah, what was the rest of it made of? Probably like a hot dog or something, right?
Yeah.
Because he eats it. It had to be edible.
It was giving aspic to me.
I don't know what that is.
You should look up aspic.
Aspic?
Aspic. A-S-P-I-C. Yeah, actually. I think that's how you spell it. It might be a B. Right?
No, I don't like this at all.
Isn't that though?
Meat jelly?
Yeah, it's kind of what it was giving, right? It was like a little too shiny.
Oh my god, it has eggs in it. This is horrific. This is scarier than the movie, Katie.
Yeah. There's a guy on TikTok that's made a bunch of aspics from like a 50s cookbook. He's just like going through the cookbook.
Yeah, no, that's not for me. I hope, well, actually a dog would probably love that shit, so.
Yeah, dog would love it.
It looks like dog food.
Yeah. Yikes. Anyway, that's what it was giving to me. Sort of like,
yeah,
a little too transparent, a little too shiny.
Okay.
And meat.
Yeah, well.
We've never seen a severed penis, so who are we to judge?
I can confidently say I've never seen a severed penis in real life.
You know what?
What?
I slide through my fucking teeth. I have seen a severed penis in real life. I went to the Icelandic Phallological Museum. It's full of penises.
That's like the most you thing that you've ever said to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a great time. Penises of all shapes and sizes.
Great. I'm happy that you got to experience that.
Yeah, I forgot about it until just now.
Yeah.
How else can we derail this conversation?
Oh, I was just going to give another fun fact.
Okay.
No?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. There's still time.
Great. The director has since this movie has come out, and obviously, like, it's aged a bit, almost 20 years now. He has since acknowledged that the scene with Ryan and Dawn didn't age very well.
Yeah.
It's shown as kind of this point where she realizes that her teeth won't attack if it's consensual. However, she's just been drugged, so it can't be consensual. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I don't think that consent was discussed as much back in that time. Still a little problematic, but it's nice that he's at least acknowledged that and said, yeah, that did not go well.
Sure.
Doesn't look good.
But I also think it's saying something about the men still. It's not about the woman. You know what? Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I was trying to be profound, but... It should be uncomfortable because it is. It's still wrong.
Right. But I think the issue that it's brought up now is that, like, she doesn't – her teeth don't react to that even though it's supposed to be only in consensual situations.
Sure.
So that's why it's
– Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That checks out. Okay.
Right.
He also said, I think in the same interview that you were just talking about
–
that this is a great date movie to challenge men in heterosexual relationships to see if they're worthy. He says basically said it's a red flag if the men don't appreciate or understand the movie.
Yeah. I tend to agree.
Yeah. Dylan refused to watch it with me, so I don't have a gauge. I didn't tell him what it was about.
Oh, you just said, okay.
Well, I mean, I did say it's about a woman with teeth in her vagina. And he's like, that sounds triggering. I'll pass.
Why would that be triggering?
I don't know.
Do you have teeth in your vagina?
He said, wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
Yes.
Oh.
I absolutely would like to know if one of my friends has vagina dental.
Oh. No, I don't.
Oh. Damn.
Yeah, too bad. I don't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah, that your husband found that triggering.
Oh, yeah. He found just the title of the movie triggering, so we didn't get to watch it together.
Oh. Well, too bad.
Yeah, he missed out. Or didn't. Find out in about 2 minutes. When we rate it.
Nice save. That was good.
Any more fun facts?
Yeah.
Hmm.
The actress who played Dawn... She said in an interview that I think this was the first time she'd ever had to do, like, intimate scenes.
Oh.
And at first she almost didn't want to do the movie because of that. But then when she read the script, she was like, wait, no, I have to do this. So she was really into it. But she said as an introduction to doing those types of scenes. She said that it was a really great environment for her to be on. She said everybody who was on like the cast and in the crew was super supportive and super like always wanted to make sure that she felt safe and she felt comfortable and felt very protected. And yeah, she said all the guys were total darlings aside from their on-screen images, which were despicable. So it's nice that at least she had a good experience doing it.
Did you watch the interview? I forget who it was with. I should name and shame them, but I forget who it was with. And the guy was like, does like HR policy just go out the window in this kind of movie? Did you guys all just like have like a really good time? Like it was just such a weird
the interviewer said that?
The interviewer said that. And then also weird, the actress who plays Dawn said, well, you ask such great questions, but she might have been being facetious.
Oh, yeah.
But also it was like 20 years ago, so.
Interviewers,
it was a weird question. I did not like that question at all. In that I don't know same why interview, I'm still though,
like shocked when interviewers ask completely out of pocket questions to women. They've been doing it for years, but it never ceases to amaze me that you would think that that's an okay thing to ask in a professional setting.
Yeah, right. It was a different time 25 years ago.
They're still doing it.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, fair. But there wasn't outrage then, and there would be now.
True.
Also in that interview though, they did get one good tidbit out of it. The old man from the final scene was just a random ass guy from Austin that the production team found and asked if he'd like to be a part of the film. He apparently had forgotten that he was supposed to be on camera. Like he'd basically forgotten what he signed up for is what it sounded like.
Oh no.
But he got to set and was like, yep, I'll do it still. And they're like, okay, for the last scene, you got to stick out your tongue. And he took that as little lizard tongue thing. And so that's where that came from. He just interpreted that as a little flick of the lizard.
As he should, King.
He was great.
Yeah.
I liked him.
A little wild ending to this movie.
Yeah. And I enjoy the implication of it, the ending.
Oh, okay.
That she then becomes this like vigilante.
Yeah, snapping like dicks Dexter. Off left and right.
Yeah.
You're
left imagining all the penises she chomps off. Because you know there's an endless supply.
Lot of peni getting separated.
Yep.
Yeah.
Penar. In the plural.
Yeah. That was one. I was reading through a lot of like low, because I like to read the really high reviews and the really low reviews.
Sure.
You know, just to get a sense, because I'm like, even if I have an idea of what I think of a movie, I always like to hear other people's perspectives because maybe I'm missing something.
Sure.
There were so many men who were writing. Well, I shouldn't assume their gender, but
probably.
We know who it was.
Yeah.
They were like, this just didn't make any sense. Every man she comes across is just this terrible guy. And I'm like, buddy. Yeah, that's the point of the movie.
The call's coming from inside the house, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and I'm not, listen, I'm not going to get into the all men type of shit, but also, why are you mad that a movie about vagina teeth is unrealistic?
So fair, bestie.
Like, that's the point of concern where you were like, this is too far. Now it's not realistic.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that was a man.
It felt like one.
Yeah.
All right, do you have any other fun facts?
No, I'm ready to rate it.
All right, let's do it. Let's get into it.
Okay, how scary did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5 out of 5. I don't really find this movie scary. I think it's kind of a romp, kind of a good time. What about you?
I agree. 0.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it scary.
No. How sexy did you think it was?
I have a really hard time assigning a score for this one.
Yeah.
Because it's not sexy. It's not supposed to be. There is sex, though.
Yeah.
So it's just like, bleh. I gave it a 0.5.
Yeah.
What'd you give it?
I gave it a 1.
Okay.
Only for the concept of your vagina having teeth. I think that's sexy.
Yeah.
But everything else that happens in this movie, no. No, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so fair.
Yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1 out of 5.
Okay.
Mainly just because the cave scene, like when it's first happened, it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
When he attacks her.
And the
that
children.
Was like, yeah, that's true. Oh my God, dude, I literally black that part out every time. When it started, yeah. I was like, I don't remember this scene. And then it panned to the kids and I was like, oh fuck, I do remember this scene. You're right. I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Thank you.
Point for that. Point for that.
Yeah. I also gave it a 1.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing fucked up about men getting what they deserve.
That part I did not. That didn't bother me. Because everybody it happened to deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah. What they do to her is fucked up. And the dog. That was a little fucked up. But. 1.5.
All right. Overall, what did you think of Teeth?
I heard a lot of good things about this one, or at the very least, like there were a lot of people around me when this came out that were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, and I knew it was going to be a comedy, and I hope neither of those two things really influenced my rating because I gave it a 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, like I said, I do think had there been a woman's touch, this could have really gone over the edge and been a 5 out of 5. But I don't fault him for having a dick. That's, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. I think the tone is absolutely perfect. Dark and moody, but also so funny. And in like a way that you don't really see in horror. Kind of slapsticky.
Yeah.
And then Jess Wexler, hilarious. Her facial expressions, I could not get over her facial expressions. She's just so funny. Like I don't even know if it was intentional, but it's hilarious. I don't think there's a lot of rewatchability for me, so between that and like the whole male director thing for a feminist movie, I deducted it a whole point, so 4 out of 5.
Okay.
How about you?
First, I just want to say it is intentional. She went to Juilliard, so she knows what she's doing.
Okay, good. Okay.
But I also give it a 4 out of 5. This movie is fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah, I like this movie. I'm still trying to understand the criticisms of saying it's not feminist. So my mind is still open to arguments against that, but everything I've seen, I disagree with.
Yeah.
So I'm struggling with that because for me, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily take it away from it. That it's a man who did it. And if I watched it and never knew that, I think I would think the same. Yeah, I don't know. If it was the exact same movie, but a woman did it, I don't think it would make it any better or worse. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But yeah, I do think it's funny. I think it's a good movie. That's that's my top tier critic analysis, is that it's funny and good.
Yeah.
No, but I really enjoy this movie, and I think the only reason it's not higher is because I think sometimes it's like a little after school specially, like a little too much for me. Like some of the acting is a little over the top, and I think it was intentional that they did that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it always works for me.
Yeah.
But.
Fair.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Fun, yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
Yeah. The real question is, would you survive? And the answer is...
absolutely.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And thriving.
Living, thriving.
Yeah. I'm doing vigilante shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that sort of implied, she goes on a penis cutting rampage afterwards. That's mm-hmm. what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I think it's... who even really dies? Just the one guy, Toby.
Doesn't he?
The rapist. I'm not raping anybody, so I live.
Right, but and he does it himself, right?
I think it's kind of implied. It's never like outright said.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Right? Do they say it in the autopsy scene?
I don't know if they. Autopsy I don't remember scene. Them say-
Well, it's like he's on the slab after they pull him out. But I thought they just talked about his penis being gone. I don't remember them saying definitively. I don't know. I'll have to rewatch it, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I watched a deleted scene. It's Don in the hospital and what's his name? Mike? Ryan? What's his name?
Which second one?
The one that she does end up having sex with.
Ryan.
It's Ryan being like carted through the hallway and there's just like a bloody patch where his penis would be in the hospital. And the face she fucking makes is so funny. I'm pissed that scene got taken out because it's hilarious. You should watch it. But yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. It's not like they were strapped for time.
Yeah.
An hour? Not even.
And the scene's like 18 seconds long. I don't know why it got cut at all. I don't understand it.
Well,
context. We need a director's cut.
We need that one.
Yeah, just add that one scene where you intended it to go and I will be happy.
Great. All right, do you want to predict next week's movie?
Yeah, I sort of know what it's about.
Yeah, you've heard of it. You're familiar with it.
Yeah, the essence, the vibe.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about 13 Ghosts, the original and the remake. It was on our list, but we moved it up because of a TikTok user named Hung Chachi who asked us to watch it. So, yes. Hung Chachi, this one's for you.
Yeah. We'd originally been saving this one for our episode with Matthew Lillard in it.
Our fantasy of one day getting Matthew Lillard on the podcast. Yeah, we had to wipe our delusions and come to face reality.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, 13 Ghosts. The remake stars Matthew Lillard as the main character. And I think it's sort of, funny enough, like Scooby-Doo vibes, like a Scooby-Doo sort of situation. Where he, Matthew Lillard's character, visits a mansion and it just happens to be haunted. And there are 13 ghosts in it, each with a different like power that he has to subdue in order to be paid for whatever he's being paid for, watching the mansion or ghost hunting. I don't know. I haven't figured that part out yet. And then all the ghosts have their own fun little backstory. And I put that together because I know that there was talks about a TV show and they would each get their own episode. So I'm pretty sure at the very least that part's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part is right. The ghosts do have backstories.
Okay, good. All 13 of them have a different backstory. Each of the ghosts is unique.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. Matthew Lillard is in the remake.
Yeah.
He's not the main character, but he is in the remake. Yeah, sorry.
Is he a ghost?
You're going to have to find out.
That's annoying.
Yeah,
you just tell me. I'm going to Google it.
What is wrong with you? We've come so far and now you're backsliding back. This is episode 5, Katie. I don't know this girl anymore.
Fine, I won't Google it.
Thank you.
What year did the original come out? What year did they both come out?
The original came out in 1960, and the remake came out in 2001.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. We love a Matthew Lillard flick.
Who doesn't?
Nobody that watches our cast.
So true.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, next Tuesday. Drop your favorite of the 13 ghosts in the comments and spoil it for me.
Oh my God. Yes, please. Actually, don't spoil it for her. But I do have a favorite
of the 13 ghosts. Let me guess. Let's rank the 13 ghosts. Next episode, we're ranking the 13 ghosts.
Absolutely. We can do that. And absolutely everybody has a favorite 13th ghost. Come on.
Okay, I'm really excited to do that.
Yeah. Me too.
We can actually rank 26 ghosts.
That's true.
Hell yeah. The next week's episode, 2 hours long. First hour, 26 ghosts ranked. Second hour.
First hour, we're ranking.
We each have to rank 26 ghosts. That's a lot. Remember how long it took us to rank all of our movies?
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen the original, but I don't know if they go as in-depth on the ghosts in that one as they do in the remake.
The remake has more about the ghosts?
I don't know, because I haven't seen the original.
Oh.
But I know they're not, like, I don't ever hear about them, so.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
How much cultural impact can they have made?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch it and change my mind. I don't know. Anyways, I'm excited to watch them. And I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
Thanks, me too.
Matthew Lillard coming in hot
mm-hmm.
next week. All right, cool. Thank you for listening. Please feel free to like and subscribe. And we will see you next week.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.